Looky there, 2025. Just a couple days away, isn't it? Everybody ready for that? I mean, I don't know why we're surprised. Time's been ticking ever since we came into this world. Right? It just keeps right on ticking, doesn't it? Well, I think most of us in this area feel like we kind of got robbed of a couple months there, didn't we? With the storm, so it's we're a little bit weary and a little bit tired from it. I feel like we are as a whole, and I know some of y'all got some things going on outside of that are fatiguing, right? However, God is still God, and He's still on the throne, and we're still His people, and we still believe in Him, and we're gonna trust Him again, right? For however many days the Lord gives us, we're going to continue to trust Him and be people of faith in the middle of it all. Whether we're excited, whether we're tired, whether we're asleep, whatever the case is, shouldn't change who we are and shouldn't affect our commitment to Him. Isn't that what New Year's time is all about, is making new commitments? Seems like that's what the world wants to do anyway. And I don't really know that God cares two hoots about new commitments. He cares about the one you made when you got saved. It makes sense? And I don't even know if God gives hoots, but that, you know. But I, you know, every year at Christmas time or thereafter, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, I just naturally sit back and reflect, like probably many people do, about what happened throughout the year and what's going on and what was successful and what failed and what could have been different or what I wish was different and what I hope is different. And it just goes on and on, doesn't it? And I think that's normal. I think it's normal for us to think that way. But it's getting ourselves ready for another trip around the sun if the Lord allows, right? And I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, and I'm still pretty spry, I think, it seems like the years go by faster than they did when we were in our youth. How many of y'all have specific plans for next year? Like things you want to get done? You got stuff laid out. How many of y'all are planners? You're like, okay, this year we're going to do this, 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 and this. Right? Whether it's home or work or whatever. All right, how many of y'all are just along for the ride? Whatever happens, happens. I'm just barely making it. I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna see if I last the whole day. And do that 300 some odd times, and then next thing you know, we're here again. I think. Yeah, right. I think sometimes we have ideas of what we would like to be able to do or get done, but somewhere around about March or April, we just start going along for the ride and almost forget about those plans, or almost stop thinking about the to-dos or the want list or the wish list or whatever you want to call it. And by the time we get to this point in a year, it's like, we're just like, what happened? We're like, what just happened? Especially when there's storms and stuff like we've been having. Problem is I don't think the Lord wants us to just be blown by the wind all the time. I don't think He wants us to be so busy that we forget about the commitments that we've made to Him, the commitments that we've made to our families, the commitments we've made to the church, the commitments we've made for His purposes, for His glory. And if we're not careful, we get going too fast and just get along for the ride, and whatever happens, happens, gets in the way of being intentional about being the Christians who God wants us to be, right? I think God wants us to make plans. He wants us to set goals. In fact, several different places, He says those who don't have plans will fail. It's doomed to fail. If you don't have goals, you're not going to make it. Who knows where you're going to be? Anybody know who Yogi Berra was? Some of y'all know. That dude said a bunch of crazy stuff. He said this right here. You got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. Yeah? And I think too many people, too many times, we find ourselves at the end of the year, maybe sometimes discouraged or even depressed because things didn't go the way we wanted them to go over the last year. Or things didn't happen that we want to happen. Whatever success we're chasing didn't go that way, or it's not going to stay the same, or it's just completely out the window, and it's just never going to, and we have all these goals, and we have a perspective that doesn't allow us to pursue those goals in a real way. So I'm just going to say some things this morning to help us think about things and pray about things, you know, maybe in a way that would give us the best opportunity to honor God with 2025 or whatever He allows us to have of it, right? Because we might not finish this day. Nobody's promised tomorrow, and Jesus might be back. So set goals and know that. Proverbs, this is homework. Go home and just read Proverbs chapter 7 and 8, and you will see an example of a young man who just wandered around with no goals and no direction and no place, no intention to go anywhere specific. He just wandered around and found himself in a major situation in his life. It says that a harlot came out into the street and enticed him into her home. She was actually married to somebody else, but husband's gone out of town, and she gets him to come in to the house. Next thing you know, he's in a world of sin. All because he was where he shouldn't have been. He had no direction. He had no goals. He was just wandering around in his life. And if you leave it up to the world to dictate your path, you will find yourself in trouble. You'll find yourself away from God. You certainly won't be where God would lead you should you pursue His guidance. All right? It leads to sin and despair. So I'm reflecting, right? And I think about, sometimes I fall into the trap and I start thinking to myself, this year I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I get my list going like most people do. Right? And every year it's I'm going to try to love God more. I'm going to try to spend more time with my wife, and I'm going to eat more barbecue. That's it. That's the top three every year. After that, it goes on for different things. All right? I mean, that's as far as I want to go with New Year's resolutions, because everybody knows by the time February is over, most people abandon those commitments, right? Y'all know that. So I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying let's focus on the main thing at New Year's, and let's see if God helps us with some of those other things. You see, because you know the common ones are I want to make more money, or I want to lose weight, or eat better, or I want to exercise more, and on and on and on. And they're all great ideas, aren't they? But they fail a lot because we do the same thing as we did last year, expecting different results. Y'all know what that is. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. This is one of the verses in my life that I try to keep on the front of my mind. Matter of fact, we got it hanging in our living room just so that I don't go a day without looking at it, noticing it. And I can't miss it because it's right just to the right of the television set. So I'm at least looking in that direction once a day while I'm drinking my coffee every morning. But Proverbs chapter 16, in verse 1 and 2, we're really going to read the first three verses. It says, "The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives." And then verse 3 says this here. Verse 3, put it on the next slide for me, please. Verse 3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." I like that. I like it. I like it. I like it. You know why? Because I can look at my plans. I can see my list of plans or goals or whatever it is you want to call it. And if I can make Proverbs 16:1-3 a reality in my life, I got a better chance of success, don't I? I got a better chance of realizing some of those goals, or at least coming close, right? I'm the kind of guy that'll set a goal just far enough to where if I miss it, still great things happen. And if I hit it, amazing things happen. Right? If I just miss it by, if I just fall short, I still did good. Verse 1 of that, if we go look at verse 1 there, it really is just saying that God, you know, you can make all the plans you want, but God has the final say, doesn't he? As you go into this next year, whatever the Lord allows us to have, as we go into this next year, I think it's proper to evaluate where you want to go, what you want to be, and how you want to do it, and how you want to serve the Lord, and whatever the case is, but you got to make room for God to have his say. And if you don't make room for that and you insist on your way, then you'll be frustrated for the entire year. And we'll be back here in 2026. If the Lord don't come back, we'll be back here talking about how bad it was. Right? Instead of praising the Lord. You realize that 2024 has, if you think about it, if you and I sit down and just sit, if we just sit on the front porch, get some coffee and just reflect, we would have more than we can count reasons to praise God. All the blessings that he has allowed us to be a part of. All of the times that he showed us his faithfulness and his presence in our lives. All the times that he's forgiven us. And just in 2024, y'all. All the times he gave us a do-over when we just didn't get it right that day. All the times that he used us to be a blessing to somebody else. You see. And then if you take a person's plans and they're committed to God, how much more so can we realize God's activity in our lives? Or our activity in God's kingdom, you see. If we're really going to be about the Lord's business and we're really going to go out and make disciples and we really have a heart to be who Jesus died for us to be, then our plans should be in line with his will. So he should have the final say, and we're glad of it. God guides our steps. Why? Because he wants us to go the way he wants us to go. How many of y'all don't want to go the way God wants you to go? I know y'all sitting back like, who's going to raise their hands for that? I know. I'm asking a ridiculous question to make us understand how ridiculous it is to start worrying about stuff that God says is in his hands. You see, if we want to have a blessed year, if we want to go into this year with every opportunity to have the most joy and the most blessings and the most of everything God has to offer, then let's just start off with faith and trust in his word. And when he says, I commit my, if you commit your plans to me, then what does he, put that back on 3, please. It says, your plans will be established. And if God says they're established, then who else on the planet can say otherwise? Hello? If God says your plans are established, then who else on the planet can say otherwise? Many will try, but it will not be. The closer we are to God, the more our will and his align. And we must be about his business. So keep that in mind. Verse 2 says this here. God examines our motives. Hello? That one hits hard. Oh gosh, that hits hard. Right? Because we are masters at justifying our behavior and our desires. We probably hear a bunch of lies from Satan, and then we have some amazing skill to say, you know what? I might be able to make that sound like that's God's will. You know? I'm not even going to give you examples because you don't need them. You already know. Right? You already know what you wrestle with. You already know what you should or shouldn't be doing that you need to quit doing or start doing. You already know. God knows why you do everything you do, good or bad. If you're doing something sinful, he knows why you're doing it. If you're doing something good, he knows why you're doing it. Why are you setting these goals? Why do you have this plan for your family? Why do you have this for your life on your list of things for 2025? Why is it there? Is it for you? Is it for self? Is it to glorify self? Is it to lift self up? Is it for personal gain? Or is it for God's glory? Or is it for the obedience that God is requiring of us as his people? Are we doing it because we love God, or are we doing it because we love self? Are we doing it for some other gain? God examines the motives. You see, since the Lord weighs the motives, that should get your attention. We talked in our Sunday morning Bible study the last couple of weeks. We mentioned things, a phrase that we mentioned, sound judgment. What is sound judgment? Right. It's great to go and do the good things, to love people. It's great to go and do the amazing things that are blessings to others. But you know, you can do something that's a blessing to other people and still have selfish motives. Right? And God will still use that to be a blessing to others, and you and I will miss out if our motives are not right. So maybe as I'm looking at my list for this coming year, maybe I should write on there that my motives would be pure in all things. Just a thought. Maybe that'd be number. All right, I put that ahead of the barbecue one. It's kind of important. And then verse 3, look what it says. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. God knows what fits his plan. God knows what fits what his kingdom is doing. So how do we make plans that are according to his will? How do we make plans that are going to be established? Well, as we grow in Christ and as we get more and more away from sinful activity and more in the righteousness of Christ, then our desires become his desires. Our desires change. I really do want to love people just because God loves them. Right? I really do want to worship God because he's worthy to be worshiped. How many people are there on the planet that say they're believers and they never ever worship God with other believers? You see, look. This Bible is the absolute truth, and whatever God says is. So my goal, maybe another thing on my list would be, I would like to strive to get my will in line with God's will. For no other reason except for that it pleases God. And it's what Jesus died for. You see. So why wouldn't I want my will to be his will? Okay, well that means I better start doing some more of this Bible reading, because that's where I'm going to find God's will. And if I'm going to trust God and his will that tells me that the Spirit of God lives in me for the purpose of guiding me and teaching me and helping me to be in line with his will, then maybe I should pay attention to him too. You see, my list keeps growing and growing for the year, doesn't it? And suddenly the worldly things, or the things that we thought were the most important things to focus on, they just keep getting pushed more and more to the bottom of the list, don't they? I'm not saying they're not important, and I'm not saying you shouldn't focus on your family, your children, your businesses, your jobs, your retirement, whatever the Lord, whatever responsibilities you have, but they get pushed down the bottom of the list because you're putting God first and his will and his plans for you, you see. And I'm pretty confident from what I'm reading and studying in his word that if I put him first, you see, if I'm about his business, then he's always about my business, you see. And suddenly my bills get paid easier. Suddenly I make better decisions where I'm not spending so much money in the wrong places. And I'm not wasting so much time with things that don't matter when it comes to the kingdom of God. Right? This is why I have this verse on my wall. Because it encourages me and it helps me stay in line. I mean, sometimes. I'm not perfect. I try. And in verse 3, I mean, he just knows. There's a word in this verse, and I'm going to go on to close. And it's a word that pops up a lot when you're looking at the Bible, when you're looking at the Word of God, when you're studying about a relationship with God. And it's the word commit. Commit your works to the Lord. Take your list, whatever list you have, every time a new year comes around, whatever list you make, whether it's in your mind or written down or shared with your family, take that list and commit it, literally commit it to the Lord. And right away, if you're paying attention to the Spirit of God and you're healthy and you got that relationship going, right away you're going to start being convicted about things that probably shouldn't be on that list. Maybe because of the motive ain't right. Or maybe because it ain't something that honors God. Right? Whatever. But whatever you commit to the Lord gets cleaned up and it gets made to honor Him. You see, it's part of who we are. When you commit your life to Christ, you commit your plans to Him. I mean, the hard truth, let me say it the hard way, because I can give you a bunch of different soft ways. Let me just say it the hard way. When you said, I commit my life to Christ and I want to be saved, then you don't have a list anymore. It's God's list for you. What He wants to do with you. What He wants your life to look like as you surrender to Him and as you allow the Spirit to have His way in your life according to the Word of God. Does that mean you don't have no choices? No. It just means that you don't get to do things your way. You got to do things God's way if you are committed to Him. Right? God always finishes His work. And He ain't done with none of y'all. He ain't done with me. Praise the Lord. Because I need a lot of work. Make plans, set goals, right? But then commit them to the Lord. I would even go so far as to just spend some time and literally in prayer just saying, whatever's on your list, say, Lord, this is what I got on my heart. This is what I think my family needs. This is what I think I want to do with my life. And I'm just giving it to You. And if You want it to happen, give me some wisdom and help me find it. Help me make this happen. And if You don't want it to happen, get me off of it. Get it out of my mind. And if the Lord gives you a whole nother year, at the end of the year, you're going to sit back and say, wow, I checked off a lot of them things right there. And you're going to give God the glory. And you're going to get so excited that you do it again the next year and the next year and however many years the Lord gives you. Because you're starting to trust Him more. You're starting to believe Him more. Your faith is becoming more and more genuine. Anybody say they can trust God? Anybody say they believe God, right? How many of y'all believe that Jesus is coming back sometime, someday? All y'all? I mean, do you really believe it? The reason I'm asking that question, because look, Mark chapter 13, let me just read verses 35 to 37 here. I think about in about 20, if I live to be an old man, it'd be another 20 or 30 years if the Lord gives me that much time. And I sit back and I think about what it's going to be like to be old. Oh, sorry. What's it going to be like to be older? Apologize. My bad. And sometimes I look forward to it. Sometimes I'm just like, if I'm struggling now, what's it going to be like then? But then I think about this right here. What'd I say? 35. Therefore, be on alert. This is when Jesus is teaching about how things are going to be And he's teaching about how he's one day going to come back to get all of the believers. He says, therefore, be on alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on alert. Why am I putting this here as we, Lord willing, go into another year of time? Because I think the Lord would have us live every day as if he's coming back today. Live every day as if this is the last day you're going to have on earth. Plan on it. I'm saying, if you believe that what Jesus is teaching is the truth, if you believe the Word of God is the absolute truth, and if you believe that, then you have to read these words and say, okay, Jesus is coming back, and I don't know when it's going to be. And I think if we're capable of living with that in the front of our minds, not out of fear for it, but just in faith that Jesus is coming back, then when we make our plans, then when we look at our 2025, we make all these plans and we put them in the Lord's hands, knowing that we may never see that list completed. What if Jesus came back right now? Think about this. If it was time for Jesus to come back, I mean right now, what would it change in life? I mean, what have we all been worried about for days and months and years even that suddenly just wouldn't matter? The things that we get concerned about and we have on our mind and stress about every day, seems like. How is this problem going to get solved? What am I going to do? How is this going to be if I don't get this done? Or how are we going to pay? What about my retirement? How's that going to... And then Jesus shows up and it all doesn't matter, does it? I'm not saying don't think about those things and don't plan for those things and don't be a good steward of those things. I'm saying make your list, commit it to the Lord, and then get busy about the Lord's business. Because if Jesus shows up, some people ain't going to be saved. And how am I going to stand before the Lord and say, I didn't witness to these folks because I'm worried about this car problem or this house problem or these people over here, my neighbors are, you know. We start worrying when we start taking control of our to-do list for the year. Because we think we got to do it. Because we think we have all these things now to do. Some people don't even make a list. Want to know why? Because they just give up. Like, I don't make lists. I never get them done anyway. I don't make New Year's resolutions because I always fail anyway. So there's no point. I don't think that honors God, y'all. I think God wants us every day to get up and say, okay, this is what the Lord would have me do today. So I'm going to get after it with the Lord's help. As long as he gives me breath, I'm going to be after what the Lord wants me to be after. And guess what? If Jesus shows up, woohoo! It's all done. It's all over with. It's done. You know what the best thing about being in the presence of God, for me personally, the best thing about being with the Lord, being gone from this world, however that would happen, is there's no more anxiety. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to cry about. I don't even know. I mean, I literally cannot even think about how I would just exist without that kind of stuff. Something to think about, or something, some problem to solve, or some anxiety, or some worry, or whatever the case is. There's always stress somewhere in life. And even in the exciting moments in the back of your mind, there's always something where there's baggage we're carrying around. But guess what? When Jesus comes back, all that goes away. All of it goes away. Oh, I don't have my phone. I would tell you, I got an app in my phone, and I'm only doing this for the fun of it, but I have an app in my phone, and it's got a countdown. It's a countdown app. I got it counting down how many, to the exact second, how many more days, months, weeks, and seconds till I turn 100 years old. If I make it that long. I just think it's funny.
2071, y'all. I'm on my way. So as we get ready for the Wednesday, Tuesday night, staying up and watching the world, engaging in all kinds of godless, gotta be careful. Things that don't honor God, let's put that in. Not all yet, I'm talking about the world. I'm just saying, let's just look with excitement into the future, into another year. We might not get y'all. How many of y'all, I mean, we didn't see the pandemic coming. We didn't see this hurricane coming. And I know each one of us had things in our lives that have happened that we didn't see coming. Some of the things that have happened, we saw coming, and there's nothing you can do about it. You see. And if we're not careful, we're going to be focused on the wrong things, and we will miss out on everything that God did. So I would just encourage you, before we sing, let's just shorten our lives. Love God more, and do His will. Seek His wisdom, love people, love God. Let's just leave it at that, and let Him have His way. You can't lose when you do that. Y'all feel what I'm saying here? This is the way, this is what Jesus died for us to do. Jesus died. He said, I'm the Lord. I'm the one who died. You're forgiven. You can have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going back to be with the Father. Oh, I'm coming back. But in the meantime, go tell people who I am. Go help people. You be me with Him. That's what He said. So let's go do that. And if our plans are all about that, then how can they go wrong? Let's stand together and we'll sing. Yeah, if you don't know the Lord, then you're missing out.